My name is Cynthia. I started smoking Newport cigarettes when I was 9 years old. I'm currently 31. I'm recently divorced and unable to have children, but I had hoped to adopt a little one. Hell, even a teenager, I don't really care. I just wanted someone to keep me company to end the every night routine of eating a pint of ice cream, smoking 3 packs of cigarettes, and watching reruns of sitcoms from the 80s. Hell, if I didn't have to work 4 days a week, I'd never leave my couch. I'm overweight, balding in my early 30s, and looking for something more productive to do with my life. I had been watching the Times Square New Year's Eve event alone in my shitty apartment. Some celebrity had been asking random people in the crowd about their New Year's resolutions. Some wanted a new car, some wanted a better job, some had their priorities fucked up. It was just the usual New Year's garbage I'd been dealing with my whole life. I had always meant to have a list of at least 3 resolutions, but either never thought of anything or never followed through. It was strange, the commercial I saw. It had bright colors and a woman dancing with some cute guy in some sort of studio. The music was louder than the normal television volume, and it immediately grabbed my attention, startling me because of the sudden noise. A woman's voice began speaking over the upbeat music. "New year, new you. Tired of wasting your time, your money, and your health on that nasty cigarette habit? Ask your doctor if Fumafer is right for you." Fumafer? Was this some kind of new method to giving up smoking? I put out my cigarette in the ashtray on the end of the table and perked up a bit. "Fumafer is one simple pill a day for 30 days. It must be prescribed by your doctor. Fumafer may help you lose weight, so ask your doctor if Fumafer is right for you." It's a win-win. Not only could I finally kick the cigarettes to the curb, but I could potentially lose weight. There is this new diet plan my coworker Ashley had been bragging about. Normally, I don't feed into that sort of hype, but I watched her lose so much weight in only a month that I had asked her for the brochure. I was sure it was still in my purse. "Side effects may include abnormal sleep, loss of appetite, sore throat, headache, nausea, skin rash, mild constipation, or new or worsening mood changes. Contact your doctor immediately if you experience..." I wasn't listening anymore. I put my ice cream down, opened my laptop, and logged into my doctor's patient portal. I loved this new portal thing because I could log in, check when he's available, and see when appointments have been canceled. It's much easier to get an appointment, and I can't even let him know what the appointment is for. A few years ago, it took 2 weeks to get an appointment. This system made sure I could easily get in whenever I needed to. I had decided on my 3 resolutions. I got an appointment with my doctor to discuss weight loss, quitting smoking, and possibly getting my hair to grow back. In a few minutes, one of the 24-hour answering service people confirmed my appointment for January 2nd at 9 a.m. and let me know that my physician always recommends this over-the-counter cream unless I have a skin condition. She also wrote that if I'm wary of it, wait to ask the doctor. I looked up the stuff and saw amazing results, so I ordered a 6-month supply and had it delivered on the same day as my appointment. I decided that once that ball dropped, I wasn't going to bed. I was going to actually clean my apartment. I had just gotten one of those new, fancy coffee makers with those little pods. I made myself a cup and sipped it as the New Year was celebrated in New York City. I spent the entirety of New Year's Day cleaning my apartment from top to bottom. New year, new me, right? I basically had to go through everything I owned because I had become quite the pack rat, leaving me with limited space. After filling 14 large black garbage bags with things I didn't want to bring into the new year with me, I carried them 3 or 4 at a time to the dumpster in the back of my apartment building. Coffee after coffee, and the entire place was spotless. I even finally got around to unpacking 2 boxes from when I had moved in years ago. I remembered I used to wear significantly smaller clothes, and instead of throwing them all away, I organized my closet. The fat clothes on the left, the new year, new me clothes on the right. It was 5 in the evening, and I was exhausted. Satisfied with my new, clean apartment, I went to bed early, knowing that I would need to be well-rested for my appointment the following morning. The doctor seemed to be in a rush. He told me that the brand of hair cream I was using was great and gave me two new prescriptions. The first was an appetite suppressant, and the second was my new exciting wonder drug. I went to the pharmacy and got them both filled immediately. Then I went to the grocery store and actually bought healthy food to cook and not something I would throw in the microwave for 2.5 minutes. I made myself a nice dinner for the first time since I was in my early 20s. I took both the pills and felt fine. All those side effect warnings were bullshit, as usual. I decided a reasonable new bedtime would be 10. I tucked myself in and found it difficult to fall asleep. I thought about maybe getting a feline companion to keep me company. I dropped the idea when I realized I'm compulsive and would immediately become the crazy cat lady. Eventually, I think I fell asleep, but it wasn't like anything I remember. I think it was a dream, but I can't be sure. I was lying on my back, seeing the room around me shrouded in the darkness of the night. I thought I was awake and struggled, trying to move. My limbs felt too heavy to even twitch, and I got very nervous. I could have sworn I saw moving shadows out of the corner of my eye. I'm not sure when it happened, but I jolted awake, soaked with sweat and gasping loudly. It was just a dream, I thought, trying to calm myself down. I remembered reading some article online about sleep paralysis. I wondered if that was what I had experienced. I checked the clock to see it was about 20 minutes before my alarm went off. I got dressed up in my favorite red blouse with the buttons and put on a skirt for the first time in as long as I could remember. I was surprised it fit. I even went as far as to put on a pair of uncomfortable heels, but I would just be at my desk. I spent extra time on my hair and makeup, feeling proud of how I looked. New year, new me. Everyone at the office complimented my appearance. Cindy from accounting said I looked like a brand new woman. I was beaming with pride, and on my lunch break, I went outside to smoke, but decided against it. I threw my pack of cigarettes away and went to the little deli across the street to get myself a salad. I went to the break room instead of eating at my desk and got so many kind words and compliments. I bragged about my new attitude and lifestyle choices and received nothing but support. Fast forward a week and a half. I lost 12 pounds, dropped a dress size, and noticed my legs appearing thinner. I was ecstatic. It didn't come without hard work, and it didn't come without side effects. I found myself vomiting every morning, and it had become a ritual. I would only eat 2 small meals a day and a smoothie I would make after work. I didn't notice the hair growth cream working, and I knew it was supposed to take a month, but I didn't want to wait. Everything else about me looked better. I went and got my nails done, and they looked just as fancy as the younger girls in the office. I had saved a large sum of money for a new car, but decided the car could wait. I basically paid $3,000 to get hair put in and then have some kind of electricity thing scheduled once a week for 3 weeks. I was assured that if my hair was not growing normally within those 3 weeks, I would receive a full refund. I had only been to one grueling, painful session, but my head definitely felt different. The fake hair looked so real. I was told it would fall out when real hair grew in to replace it. So it sounds like everything was going great, right? There were problems. Every night I could only sleep a few hours. The night terrors and sleep paralysis progressively got worse, leading me to upgrade from coffee to espresso and to buy Adderall from a coworker. I'm not gonna lie, I was hyper all the time and full of energy. But my body ached, and I knew I needed more sleep. I brushed it off and decided that if it got worse, I would go back to the doctor. It was day 13 of the Fumifer that something very strange happened. I was in a meeting with my coworkers giving a presentation. Everyone in the room loved the advertising idea, and I was praised. I'm always a very bubbly person, always smiling to the point that it takes 20 minutes to cover my laugh lines with makeup in the morning. Then Cindy spoke up. "I like the presentation," she said. "Fiscally, however, this isn't going to work. Normally, I would have smiled and asked her to explain and let me know what we could change. Disagreements happen all the time. But I'm not one to ever really get emotional. I always chuckle, apologize if I've wronged someone, and generally be kind to others just like my mother taught me. No one was ever mean to me, and if they were, I would reply so kindly that they would always be nice after that. My smile drooped into a frown I didn't know I was capable of. "What do you mean?" I said, suddenly feeling like I was holding back tears. "It's a minor adjustment," she clarified. "We may want to start with only 5,000 or 6,000 brochures. Test the waters and..." "No!" I gasped, feeling a tear slide down my cheek. My behavior was not my own, and I was not in control. I literally stomped my feet twice like a child throwing a temper tantrum. "No, no, no! Stop it!" Ashley and Cindy exchanged confused expressions. Then Ashley got up and approached me nervously. "Cynthia, are you all right?" she gasped. "You're not yourself. What's going on?"
"Nobody ever appreciates me," I said, raising my voice and shaking my head repeatedly.
I compulsively began to slap myself repeatedly in the face. Everyone in the room gasped, and Ashley made a move to grab my wrists. "Oh my gosh," she said, wrapping me in a hug. "Honey, no, no, we love you. It isn't about you. You're great, perfect even. Please, I think you're having some kind of problem and we should get you checked out." "This isn't okay. I'm worried. We're all worried." I suddenly felt humiliated. I covered my face and sobbed loudly, running out of the room and tripping over my high heels. I fell to the floor and curled into a ball, admitting defeat and screaming loudly. Before I knew it, I was rushed into an ambulance and brought to the local hospital. After evaluation and being given a sedative, I felt like my old self again. I felt humiliated and ridiculous for what had happened, but Ashley stood by my side and insisted I didn't do anything wrong and nobody was judging me. The doctor said I had a nervous breakdown, probably due to all the major life changes I was dealing with. Ashley held my hand and smiled at me. "See? You're all right, and I'm so proud of you," Ashley said reassuringly. The doctor sent me home with a month's worth of sedatives to take when I get nervous. I was told to get refills from my doctor. They weighed me once I calmed down, and I couldn't believe it. That day alone, I was down 3 pounds. Ashley decided to drive me home that night, promising to pick me up for work the next morning so I could just take my car home the next day. She stayed with me, we cooked dinner together, and I told her about my two sides of my closet. She insisted that my clothes were starting to look way too big on me and basically rushed me into the bedroom to try on my small clothes. I fit into about half of the outfits, and we decided to pop open a bottle of this wine I'd gotten for Christmas. I hesitated because I remembered the package on the Fumifer saying something about not drinking, but Ashley promised it would be fine. "You're home," she said with a laugh, pouring 2 completely filled wine glasses and handing me one. "Hell, if you lend me that blue dress, I'll stay the night to keep an eye on you. No need to pick you up in the morning. We'll just go together." "You'd really want to?" I asked. No one ever wanted to keep me company.
Duh, Ashley said.
"Cynthia, you're really a great friend. I hope we can be best friends. You're like the big sister I never got to have."
Ashley and I had a wild night together. We stayed up way too late and eventually passed out in the living room with Madonna songs playing on repeat.
This was when the night terrors changed dramatically. I wasn't just seeing shadows anymore. They weren't shadows at all. The large window behind the sofa I slept on had black shadow hands reaching out and trying to grab me. The heating system went on automatically with a soft rumble. I was frozen and paralyzed in a dreamlike state once again, unable to move my limbs. I became paranoid. Or at least, I think I was being paranoid. I thought the heating system was talking about hurting me, and when the ice maker in the freezer made that annoying sound it always makes in my mind, it was like the refrigerator was talking to the heating system about raping me and Ashley.
I woke up screaming. I startled Ashley awake, and she began forcing me to swallow sedatives while I screamed and cried about the appliances trying to rape us. After about an hour, I calmed down and felt fine again. This had really scared the shit out of Ashley, though. Ashley gave me a phone number for her psychiatrist. She confided in me that she took antidepressants and said I needed to call her. Ashley and I both took the day off work, and she drove me to the appointment. It was considered urgent enough to get me right in. Ashley waited in the car and took a nap, I think. I talked to the psychiatrist and told her about the sedatives. I felt like I was hiding the fact that I was taking diet supplements and Fumafer. I don't know why, but I felt ashamed of who I had once been, and I was about halfway through my month-long plan. A couple of incidents were no reason to spoil it. Plus, I couldn't open the can of worms of me buying Adderall. She seemed to think it was stress, prescribed me a stronger sedative, and even gave me a sleep medication. She warned me that it could be very addictive, and that she would only write it for a month to regulate my sleep schedule. Ashley took me to my car, we hugged, and agreed to do brunch the next day. I filled my new prescriptions and realized I spent an awful lot of time in pharmacies these days. I had a lot of time to kill, so I walked down Main Street and looked at all the stores. I wasn't saving for a car anymore, and I thought treating myself would help brighten up the bad week I was having. I bought a lot of new clothes, and for some reason when I tried some of them on, they were too big. I wasn't sure how, but the size I had tried on the night before was too loose, and the woman suggested a size 2. I hadn't been size 2 since college. I bounced up and down happily and brought a dozen bags to my car, ignoring the fact that I had just blown over $500. I decided, new year, new me. I even went to this place down the street Cindy had gotten her adjustments made. I had wrinkles, and with my hair sorted out, I wondered if I could get injections like her. Her face looked so great. They tried to warn me that insurance didn't cover it, it was quite expensive, and there were a lot of risks, blah, blah, blah. I realized if I played my cards right, I could get this done. I paid more than I bargained for. I was told to lie down and put a cold bag of peas on my face for the 2 hours. I rushed home, didn't bother to put my new clothes away, and listened to music while I waited. The concept of time just didn't make sense to me anymore. What felt like 1 minute had actually been an hour and a half. I just didn't understand time anymore, and I wondered what the drugs could possibly be doing to my brain. I was so close to being the perfect woman. And I even heard that one of the corporate attorneys was planning to ask me to dinner. My face felt numb, and apparently it would stay that way for as long as 2 weeks. I looked in the mirror and was happy enough with the results. New year, new me. Less time putting on makeup in the morning because those lines were gone, baby! I decided to stop the appetite suppressant that night. I figured if I kept eating healthy, I could maintain my new weight. I did, however, take the new sleeping medication and the Fumafer. It was all right at first. I had dreams that were strange, but no paralysis. I woke up in the middle of the night, groggy and confused. I think I went to the kitchen and got seltzer water. Next thing I know, I'm back in bed, frozen in my body. This time, things were so much worse. I heard voices telling me to do horrible things, telling me that everyone hated me and that hands were touching me and I could feel them grabbing and pulling my skin off my bones. I shot awake 10 minutes before my alarm and gripped my head. I felt hungover and confused. I immediately took a shit ton of Adderall and drank espresso to try and break me out of this fog I was in. By the time I finished my shower, I was back to normal. Well, sort of. The voices were still there, even though I wasn't dreaming. I heard an occasional whisper that sounded like my name, and I was beginning to think the curling iron was the one doing the talking. I thought about it as I applied makeup to my aching face gently and realized it didn't make sense. The curling iron had to take orders from someone, and I knew it was the refrigerator. Every now and again during my morning routine, I would argue with the voices. Eventually, I realized I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. That's because they were using remote-controlled alien technology from another universe to control the appliances and get them to speak English to me, but the appliances themselves couldn't understand anything I said. It was a one-sided conversation, basically. Even if the aliens heard me through the microphones they put in my apartment, they wouldn't answer. Otherwise, the CIA would come and I would know too much. The people on that morning news show could hear the voices too, and I chuckled every time one of them stopped talking to listen to the voices. It was like they would forget what they were going to say because they weren't being interrupted. I realized I was given a gift, and they were only threatening to rape me and make me kill all those microbes to gain control over me. I wouldn't give them the satisfaction, and eventually I learned to tune out the voices. I arrived at work right on time and realized that they had bugged the office, too. The surround sound was playing jazz music and whispering I couldn't understand, and the lights seemed to be too bright. I realized not everyone in the office was smart enough to know what was going on, so I kept my information to myself. I didn't want the CIA to come and get me. Work was a blur. Countless pills were taken every time the voices got to be too much to handle. I even started seeing the shadows and the hands. But the pills made it easier because they kept a smile on my face. No one noticed that I knew the secrets. I got home late and took my Fumafer and my sleeping medication. While I waited for the sleep medication to work, I checked my email and turned on some music to drown out the voices. I had over a dozen emails from my doctor's office telling me to call them immediately because there's been an emergency. I picked up my cell phone, which was still on silent from the day at work, and I had 3 missed calls. I couldn't focus on the doctor's words in the voicemails, but I recognized it was his voice and not a secretary. He said something about psychiatric medical records coming in and something about the Fumafer. I couldn't understand his garbled speech, so I figured he was reminding me to take it and saying it was good that I went to see a psychiatrist. That had to be the point. Maybe he was praising me. I couldn't focus on the phone over the sound of the voices, and I had to hurry to type out an email to his office thanking them for the Fumafer and letting them know I haven't smoked a single cigarette since I began my treatment. I knew I had to follow through the entire 30 days, though, just like the box said. I didn't want to risk getting back into that nasty habit. I had to stop typing mid-sentence and send the email as it was. It was getting difficult to read what I wrote and realize that the message didn't say anything I wanted it to. It was so riddled with typos and weird phrases that I didn't remember what I meant to type. I figured they would understand it because they're doctors and all that, so I sent it as it was. Within minutes, I fell asleep right there on the couch. I was once again frozen, and all the voices were telling me a message. I tried my best to make it out and twitch my fingers, but everything was so confusing. The shadows were no longer just hands and vague figures. I saw shadow men I recognized as the alien leadership in charge. They were telling me the CIA was planning to take me to a place far away so I couldn't tell the world about the real alien government. I began hearing a banging sound coming from the kitchen. It sounded like knocking, and I vaguely heard 2 men screaming for me to open the door. I realized it was the CIA and tried desperately to wake up, but I couldn't budge an inch no matter how hard I tried. I heard a crash, and then I remember hearing voices, but they sounded human. The shadows promised to hide me, and blackness consumed me. I woke up this morning in a hospital bed with my arms strapped down and a needle in my arm. I realized I was being held hostage by the CIA. The voices were making me bite my tongue until it bled, and a loud beeping sound came from the right side of the room. A few people in hospital scrubs ran into the room and began checking my mouth. It was bleeding a lot, and they put some kind of alien device in my mouth like a gag, so I couldn't close my teeth. I tried to talk to them, but I slurred in a way I had never heard myself speak before. and the hard plastic piece was stopping me from closing my mouth. A man in a white coat rushed to my side and began yelling at the nurses. "Give me the morphine, quickly, quickly," he said, securing gloves on his hands and applying some kind of gauze to the side of my mouth. Everything just felt wet, and then everything felt numb. I could still hear the voices and see the shadows, but it was as if none of it made any sense to me. They were trying to stop me from communicating. My eyes darted around the room very quickly. My body was once again impossible to move. But I was awake, and I knew it. I saw a nurse accept something from the doctor with his hands in my mouth, and I think they thought I was asleep. I saw what appeared to be my tongue being put into one of those little plastic cups they use for urine samples. Once the doctor finished whatever he was doing, my eyes were closed, but I could hear him more clearly over the jumble of voices. "Psychosis, clear case," he said to someone in the room. "Possibly much worse, but we'll need to see the MRI results. I need you to contact her next of kin and let them know she is being committed legally, and if they want to fight it in court, so be it." None of the words seemed to make sense to me. Everything was so clear, and yet it sounded like I was underwater. I heard his voice echo, and then I heard a very familiar voice. I think it might have been my doctor's voice, but I can't be sure. "Shit, shit," I heard him say. I had never heard him swear before. I couldn't get in contact with Cynthia to let her know about the Fuma for a recall. She sent this bizarre email to my staff, and I called her an ambulance. They kicked in her door, and thank God they did. He sounded quite upset. The doctor who had taken my tongue away let out a strange, almost chuckle. "These things happen to the best of us. Permanent brain damage is likely, but we won't know for sure until the results come in." "I feel terrible about this," my doctor said. "I had no idea." "No one did," the man interrupted. "Not our problem. Let the pharmaceutical company get the shit sued out of him by this girl's family. I think her parents are coming from upstate to voluntarily give us the go-ahead. So we'll save some time on the whole legal bullshit." "Her mother is my friend," the man sighed. "What the fuck am I gonna tell her?" The strange man laughed quietly. "I don't get paid enough to give you life advice." The female laughed and sounded like she was talking to the strange doctor. It sounded like they were leaving, because even though they sounded far away before, they sounded even further in the distance, and in moments, I couldn't hear them at all. I just heard some weird gargling noise that left me feeling anxious and a bit confused. "I don't know if you can hear me," my doctor said. "Cynthia, I'm so sorry." "Of course you can't hear me. Get a hold of yourself, Jack." "Right, okay. I'm talking to a vegetable. I need a drink."
Hey there kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and once again, it's the end of tonight's video, so I want to tell you all thank you for listening or watching, however you hear my voice. Whether it be on YouTube or on the podcast, thank you so much for being here with me. There's going to be a new story every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday night right here on YouTube, or if you're not watching on YouTube, that means the podcast gets updated on SoundCloud, Apple, Google Play, and now the podcast is on Spotify, so if it's easier for you guys to listen there than it is to listen on YouTube, then hey, not such a bad deal, right? As always, any support you guys give towards Mr. Creepypasta's story time really does help me out. I can actually keep the lights on in the house, and I can get nice little cat treats for Hercules. Okay, sorry for taking up so much of your time. Thank you guys for listening once again, and sweet dreams.